In the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. In Peter's day, there was a situation which is very prevalent in our own day. There were many women in the church who were born again and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but their husbands were not believers. And thus there were homes which were divided. The same is true in our day. And we have that very same situation here in our own congregation and in the little congregation in Caney. Peter speaks to this very situation, to wives of unbelieving husbands. At base, Peter speaks to all wives, really, but he speaks also to the contingency where wives have unbelieving husbands. And it seems to me also that the very same words which Peter speaks in this particular passage are applicable to wives of Christian husbands who perhaps are not the vibrant and obedient Christians that their wives think that they possibly could be. And so it seems there are those two sets of applications to our text this morning. It seems to me also something else needs to be said here. Peter is not really giving a how-to lesson in this particular text. Rather, the Apostle Peter here is outlining for Christian wives a responsibility before God. And so the lesson is really not a how-to lesson. It is a lesson in Christian responsibility. And in examining the text this morning, I'd like to do three things. First of all, look at the situation itself to which Peter speaks. Then secondly, examine the purpose Peter sees for being submissive. And I think it's very plain. He says that even if any of them, that is husbands, are disobedient to the word, they may be won. And then third, we will look at the causes or the cause of the husband being won or being converted. Peter says, they will be won without a word as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Well, let's look at what Peter has to say here. First of all, the situation into which Peter speaks. The situation is plainly this. The man and the woman with which Peter is concerned are already married, and they have been perhaps married for some time. Both of them were unbelievers when they were married. And now they have both heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel which says that Christ died on the cross for sins, that Christ rose again from the dead. They have heard that gospel. And the wife, as is so often the case, has responded. She has trusted in Christ and confessed Him as her Lord. But the husband in this particular case, the Apostle Peter says, has been disobedient to the word. He has rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is to this situation that Peter speaks in the particular text. The wife Peter has in mind was converted. The husband, Peter says, is being disobedient to the word. Now, although the words of Peter may be applicable to a Christian girl or woman who marries a non-Christian fellow, Peter does not primarily have this circumstance in mind. And it seems to me there are a couple of reasons why Peter does not have this circumstance in mind. First of all, the Word of God is very clear. Christians are not to marry non-Christians. The Word of God forbids Christian women marrying non-Christian men. And it could very well appear that what Peter is doing in the beginning of chapter 3 is really condoning believing wives marrying unbelievers. Peter might be, it could be said, Peter might be showing how Christian wives might win their husbands to the Lord having married unbelievers. But such is really not the case. Peter does not have this in mind because Christians are not to marry non-Christians. Paul is very forthright in this matter. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, he says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers." And although this has primarily, I think, to do with business dealings, it also has to do with contracts such as marriage. In 1 Corinthians 7:39, the Apostle Paul says, "A woman is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." And the Bible, you see, is very clear, and we ought to instruct our young ones, especially in this matter, that they ought to marry only believers. Peter is not condoning Christian gals marrying unbelieving fellows in this particular case. Not at all. He does not have that in view. But then secondly, if we do have this situation where a Christian woman has married an unbeliever, the first thing that she should do is not claim 1 Peter 3:1-2 as a promise. That may seem strange at first glance. But the fact of the matter is that a Christian woman who has married an unbeliever has been disobedient to the Word of God and has sinned against God. And it seems that the first step that such a Christian gal should take is to go to her own prayer closet, acknowledge her sin, confess that sin, and receive cleansing from Almighty God. It is only then, it seems to me, that 1 Peter 3:1-2 become applicable in that particular situation. So you see, Peter is not speaking primarily to the situation where a Christian woman has married a non-Christian man. Rather, Peter is speaking primarily to the situation where in a marriage, the wife has been converted and the husband remains disobedient to the Word of God. In the situation where a Christian woman has married a non-Christian man, she ought first to confess the sin of disobedience against God. And that doesn't mean she should seek to divorce her husband, not at all. But she should recognize her sin, confess that sin, and receive forgiveness from it. And then, it seems to me that 1 Peter 3:1-2 become applicable. But then let's move on. What purpose does Peter see for Christian wives being submissive to even unbelieving husbands? Peter says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won." They may be won. Peter here is interested in the salvation of that husband. Peter says, "You wives, be submissive to your own husbands so that they may be won." Peter is talking about salvation here. If you have your Bibles, you might turn back to 1 Corinthians 9:19-22, where the Apostle Paul uses this very same word. And he uses it several times. He speaks of winning men and women. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." You see, the Apostle Paul uses that word several times here, and he speaks of winning men and women to Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, he equates that with salvation. He says, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And when Peter speaks of husbands being one, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he speaks of the salvation of those husbands. You see, a Christian wife has the greatest possible motive for being submissive. Christian wives are to be submissive that their husbands might be brought to Christ. They are to be submissive that their husbands might gain eternal salvation. They are to be submissive that their husbands might spend eternity in heaven. Christian wives have the greatest of all possible motives for being submissive to their unbelieving husbands. You see, the eternal salvation of their souls is involved. Now, we have defined this concept of submission. We have defined it as the wife placing herself at the disposal of the husband to help and to encourage him. But we have said that submission involves the concept of the wife placing herself under and at the service of the husband, rather than placing herself over the husband to attempt to manipulate him, to please herself. To be submissive means to place herself under him, to serve him. And this is simply to follow in the footsteps of Christ in the path of service. The wife is to seek to please her husband rather than always to seek to please herself. It's hard to conceive, isn't it, of a Christian wife not being submissive to her unbelieving husband when such a strong motive is presented, the eternal salvation of that man. The eternal salvation of his soul hangs in the balance. And any Christian woman, I wonder, ought to be more concerned, really, about the salvation of that husband than about her own desires. Are women's rights, for instance, really more important than the salvation of a husband? Are they more important than perhaps a husband one day having the prospect of hearing those awesome words, "Depart from me, accursed one, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? Could there be a stronger motive given to Christian wives for being submissive to their husbands? I think not. And you see, the great purpose that Peter has in mind for wives being submissive even to their disobedient husband is the salvation of that husband. Now, what does Peter say will bring about the conversion of the unbelieving husband? Let's look at our text again. Peter says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Peter says that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, through the instrumentality of the conduct of the wife, the husband will be won. Peter means, in other words, that the wife's behavior is to be used as an instrument in the hands of God to bring about the salvation of the husband. The means used by God, you see, to bring about salvation in the husband is the conduct and behavior of the wife. And it is the total behavior and conduct of the wife as a wife that Peter really emphasizes here. In the King James Version, the word, if you have the King James, is translated conversation. And it has to do with speech. That's one aspect of behavior, isn't it? The behavior Peter is talking about has to do with what the wife says and how the wife says what she says. The behavior that Peter is talking about here has to do with also what the wife refrains from saying. But the behavior that Peter talks about here does not only have to do with speech, it has to do with conduct, with the actions of the wife and the obvious motives behind those actions. The behavior Peter is talking about here is public behavior, which will reflect upon the husband. It is also the behavior of the wife in private with the husband as they are alone together. Peter is talking about all that the wife says and does. And all that the wife says and does, Peter tells us, is to be used as an instrument in the hands of God to bring about the salvation of the unbelieving husband. But let's look at the text again. Peter says that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. What does Peter mean here? Well, Peter does not mean that the wife does not talk to her husband. For a wife not to speak to her husband would be absolutely ludicrous and preposterous, wouldn't it? There must be that open communication between husband and wife, and that communication must always be present. Peter is not talking about husbands not speaking to their wives. Besides, you see, the behavior that is to be used by God to bring about the conversion of the husband includes the speech, or as the King James Version puts it, the conversation of the wife. So Peter does not have this in mind. Peter does not also have in mind the husband being won without the word of God. In fact, in Romans 10, verse 17, Paul is very strong about this. He says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. No person anywhere is going to be saved without the word of God, let alone an unbelieving husband. And as a matter of fact, in our particular text this morning, the husband involved has heard the word of God. Peter says very plainly that these husbands are disobedient to the word. And the word that Peter has in mind here when he speaks of husbands being disobedient is the word of Christ, the word of the gospel. In one sense, the word is Christ himself. Isn't that what John tells us in the very beginning of the gospel of John? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then in verse 14 he says, and the word became flesh. The word, in one sense, is Christ himself. In a second sense, the word is the written word, the Bible. The word of God is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And in another sense, in a third sense, the word is the word of God spoken, the proclamation of Christ and the scriptures. And the husbands, which Peter is concerned with, have been confronted with Christ and with the scriptures through the preaching of Christ and the Bible. And Peter says they are disobedient to the word. Unbelieving husbands will not be converted without the word of God. And Peter does not have this in mind when he says they will be won without a word. You see, these husbands have in fact heard the word of God. And if we know any unbelieving husbands, the word of God needs to be carried to them that they might be converted. What then does Peter mean when he says that these husbands may be won without a word? Well, what Peter means here is that unbelieving husbands may be won without the preaching of their wives. They may be won without their wives nagging them and preaching to them and at them about Christ. But the wife is not, in fact, to preach at and to her husband about Christ and nag him. Oh, she may gently bring him the word of God. But Peter says, without her preaching to her husband, he may be won. He may be brought to salvation. You see, it is her continual conduct, her continual behavior, her life, which is to be a continual, powerful sermon, continually presented to the husband. Her life as a sermon is to be brought to her husband. And this, her behavior, is to be used of Almighty God to bring that husband to Christ. Now, what kind of behavior is the instrument to bring about the conversion of unbelieving husbands? The behavior that Peter is talking about is submissive behavior. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. It's submissive behavior that Peter has in mind here. And you will recall that we have defined that kind of behavior. It is a kind of behavior which brings out the best in a woman, the best in Christian character in a woman. For instance, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says that love does not insist on its own way. That's how it's translated for us in the Revised Standard Version. And it's true, isn't it? When a wife does not insist upon her own way, but rather humbles herself and places herself in the service of her husband, she displays the greatest of Christian virtues, the virtue of love. And as we read 1 Corinthians 13, as we did minutes ago, we see that this kind of love is the greatest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This kind of love, Paul shows us in Galatians 5, is the first in the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This kind of love, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 13:10, is the fulfillment of the law. Such love, exemplified in submission and service, is a testimony to Jesus Christ and to his power to change lives. And a life of love, self-denial, mortification, and meekness becomes a very powerful sermon. A very powerful sermon. And Christian wives may literally overwhelm their husbands with a life of charity and kindness and graciousness as they submit to those husbands. And this is the kind of behavior that Peter is talking about. And this kind of behavior will confirm to the husband the truth of Christianity and its teachings. Look at verses 1 and 2 together. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. You see, all the while that wives are confessing Christ, their husbands are watching them very carefully. The word which is translated observe or behold in the King James Version means to watch very carefully and critically, to examine. And as the husband constantly watches his wife and examines her conduct, what does Peter say he will see? Peter says he will see chaste behavior. Peter says he will see chaste conversation. What does the word chaste mean? The word chaste means holy, pure. In other words, the husband sees holy behavior, pure behavior, behavior which becomes the name Christian. And he sees a life filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. And a life like that testifies to the truth of Jesus Christ and of Christianity. It testifies to the truth of the doctrines which the husband is rejecting. And then there's another element. Not only does the husband see the wife behave as she does, but he sees that the wife's behavior stems from service to Christ. I like the way the King James Version puts it here, and I think it's probably translated better. Verse 2 says, "While they behold your chaste behavior coupled with fear." The margin in the New American Standard Version says, "They observe your chaste behavior with fear." The fear Peter is talking about is fear and reverence for God. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 5, 21 and 22. He says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord." You see, the unbelieving husband recognizes when he watches his wife that the wife behaves as she does because she serves the Lord Christ. And he sees that her pure and holy behavior stems from a healthy reverence for God. And this too confirms to the husband the truth of Christian teaching and of Christ whom he is rejecting. And thus it is that the life of a Christian wife may be used by Almighty God to bring about the conversion of a dearly loved and unbelieving husband. It seems to me the Word of God here is very clear in the cases where there is a wife, a Christian wife, and an unbelieving husband. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. What a motive is given! The salvation of an unbelieving husband. But the words are also applicable to wives who feel that their husbands may not be quite as obedient to the word as they ought to be. Listen to those words in that light. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. What a challenge there is in these words. And if any of us ever have the opportunity to counsel and to instruct those dear elect ladies who are married to unbelieving husbands, the words of Peter are very applicable. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior.